station for Chiefs news, previews, and interviews.
Our teams, our town.
610 Sports Radio.
KCSB Kansas City.
KRBZ HD2 Kansas City. A radio.com station.
A lot of scumbaggish type people went to prison in 2018. I found an article earlier today that told us the Christmas meals that each one of these guys, like, what did Bill Cosby have for his Christmas meal today? I know. If you want to know, stay tuned. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we step back inside the mind of the machine. Welcome into hour number two of The Drive. No C-Dot, no fanning today. Instead, you got Chris Unocero and myself, sports machine Sean Levine, taking you up until 6 o'clock tonight. I took the liberty upon myself to go 10 through 1, ranking the teams that I think are most likely to win the Super Bowl, because I think, a lot like Pete Sweeney on the way out, he talked about how he thinks that it's wide open. There's still a handful of teams that can come out of the AFC. I actually think that there are more teams heading into the last week of the season that you could argue are actual Super Bowl contenders than any time I can remember in my entire life. And there's two really simple reasons why. One, the Steelers aren't that good. And out of the last 10 years, four or five of those years, you could say, yeah, the Steelers have a better chance than anybody else to get to and win a Super Bowl. And you'd be right a couple of those times. And then, of course, the Patriots. And the Patriots look like a pretty average football team. Now, if things go terribly for the Chiefs and the Patriots win, then the Patriots could move up from where they are right now, which is the 2 seed, which means they get a bye, which means they get a host a home game. So not that much has changed. As much as it seems like they've kind of showed their mortality and came back to the pack, it's pretty much the same old Patriots. If they win, they're 11-5. They're the number 1 or 2 seed. And again, they get a host at least one game after a bye. But the truth is, anybody who's watched that team, if you want to judge them by their record, if you want to judge them by their eye test, by the fact that Tom Brady's starting to look a little bit old, it makes the rest of the pack viable Super Bowl contenders. So I took the liberty upon myself to go 10 through 1 and rank the teams that I think are most likely to win the 2018 Super Bowl. And remember, right now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. Technically, there are 15 teams, so half the league could still make the playoffs, and there are a handful of teams that have already locked up their playoff spots. All right, who am I not talking about in this conversation? Let's get these teams out of the way. These teams may end up in the playoffs, but I don't see a snowball's chance in HE double hockey sticks that they end up in the Super Bowl. I'm talking about the Cleveland Browns, and that's not to discount the job that John Dorsey's done, but it's going to take a while, considering that right before he got there, there were 4-44 in their previous 48 regular season games, and he's got them right at 500 this season. So even if they sneak in the back door of the playoffs, I don't see any way that the Browns can get to or win a Super Bowl. Tennessee Titans, maybe I just need to start giving this team a little bit of credit, because last year when they beat the Chiefs, I thought, how can you lose to a team that's that void of talent? And here they are, one win away from going 10-6 in Mike Vrabel's first year and going back to the postseason. I just don't think that a Marcus Mariota-led team is going to go to the Super Bowl. You got the Colts, and the Colts are an interesting study because one of two things could happen. If they win, if they beat the Titans on Sunday, then they're in, and they're probably pretty dangerous, because if you start listing off best quarterbacks in the league, you don't get too far before you're talking about Andrew Luck, especially with his stats this season. Or if they lose, they're done. Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings need to win to get in. If they do get in, I think they're a really dangerous team. Because what makes a dangerous team? A complete team. And to me, the Vikings, look at the stats. Top 12 offense, top 12 defense. They got to the NFC Championship game last year. Unfortunately, they've been really disappointing this year, but they're one of those teams that if I was a fan of one of the other NFC squads, I would not want to see lineup across the field against me. And then last year's Super Bowl champions. I don't have them as one of the top 10 most likely teams to win the Super Bowl because, quite frankly, I thought Philadelphia last year was good but not great. I thought that we've seen a lot of Chiefs teams like that Eagles team last year. Yeah, they won 12 or 13 games, but the truth is, all they did was get really hot at the right time. And then we all fell in love with Nick Foles and talked about Doug Peterson, Philadelphia special, and all these different things. But the truth is, we've seen a lot of Chiefs teams that were probably about as good as Philly was last year. You know how good Philly is? You know, I think, you know how good I think Philly was last year, or they are right now? The same talent level that they brought into Arrowhead Stadium in week two. They were all right, but the Chiefs beat them. That's when Carson Wentz was healthy. They've won a lot of games. It's going to take some help. Minnesota has to lose and Philly has to win for the Eagles to get back in. And I suppose if they get in, they're going to be confident. They'd be hot. They'd have Nick Foles, and they are coming off a Super Bowl championship. Okay, here's my top 10. Number 10, the Ravens. Obviously, Baltimore showed in Kansas City that they're one of those football teams that you just don't want to play because they travel well. Doesn't matter what the weather's like because they like to run the ball and play defense. And don't look now. This Baltimore Ravens defense statistically is better than the Baltimore Ravens defense at the beginning of the 2000s that went to the Super Bowl. So even though Lamar Jackson doesn't seem like what you would consider one of those great rookie quarterbacks the same way you consider a guy like Baker Mayfield or last year Deshaun Watson, he is one of those dudes. Lamar Jackson has been great this year. Baltimore at number 10. Number 9, the Houston Texans. And I feel like I'm on an island with this one, that nobody thinks that Houston has a chance of winning the Super Bowl, and I say why. They've got the quarterback in Deshaun Watson. They've got maybe the best, certainly a top 5 wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins. As often as we talk about Sammy Watkins kind of being a bust with the Chiefs, being a bust in the NFL, DeAndre Hopkins was an afterthought coming out of college, right? Sammy Watkins coming out of Clemson, Buffalo traded up to get him. Well, guess who the other wide receiver was in college alongside of Sammy Watkins? You've probably figured out at this point. DeAndre Hopkins, and all he's done is become one of the best wide receivers in the league, along with Antonio Brown and Tyreek Hill. Not to mention defensively, you want to talk about a complete team? J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, Jadeveon Clowney, and a really talented offense. I just don't like their head coach. I just don't believe in Bill O'Brien, and it's not his fault. I don't believe in Bill O'Brien because every other guy like Bill O'Brien, what do I mean by that? An assistant of Bill Belichick's, has failed. Josh McDaniels failed as a head coach. Charlie Weiss failed as a head coach. Romeo Crennel failed as a head coach. Matt Patricia and the Lions sucked this season. So why should I think it's going to be any different with Bill O'Brien? Number 8, this team's probably not going to get in the playoffs. But if they do, you could argue they've got one of the best coach, quarterback, wide receiver, and even throw running back combinations in the league. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unfortunately for them, they had a shot last Sunday and they blew it. In all likelihood, Mike Tomlin's going to be on the hot seat heading into next season if he keeps his job. One of the craziest stats that you'll ever hear is that KU basketball has only had 4 head coaches since 1964. I'm going to say it again. KU basketball has only had 4 head coaches since 1964. The Steelers only had 4 head coaches since 1964 also. Not a lot of turnover, pretty good job, a lot of success. And if they get in, they're obviously dangerous. Number 7, the team the Chiefs just played, the Seattle Seahawks. After they lost to San Francisco last week, I thought, okay, that's it. Maybe they'll get into the postseason, but they're not going to make any noise. And then after actually seeing them play the Chiefs, let's face it, guys, when it comes to a dominant performance from an opposing team, Seattle's put on the most dominant performance against the Chiefs of any of their opponents. The Chiefs had a fourth quarter lead against the Rams. They blew that. Fourth quarter lead against the Chargers. Blew that. Fourth quarter lead against the Patriots and blew that. The only game that they haven't had a fourth quarter lead this entire season was Sunday night against the Seahawks. Not to mention Russell Wilson has been there a couple of times and done that once. Pete Carroll's a Super Bowl winning coach. And the defense, obviously not as good as the Legion of Boom was a few years ago, but still damn good. If you don't think that Seahawks team that I just watched on Sunday night could win the Super Bowl, then we're watching a different sport. Number 6, the Bears. Some people, Steven Serta, think that this is the best team in football, the most complete team in football. Maybe. The problem with the Bears, and again, this has nothing to do with them, maybe they are the best team. Nobody on their roster's done it. Khalil Mack's never won anything. Mitchell Trubisky's never won. Their head coach, Matt Nagy's never won. Their running backs are all young. So I just want to see them do it before I buy in. But the Bears are a great football team. I can't put them any higher as the 6th most likely team to win the Super Bowl. Number 5, the Rams. If we would have done this exercise this time a month ago, I'd have had the Rams at the very top. But not only have the Rams lost what is it now, three of their last four games, or two of their last three games, but their offense looks like they've been figured out, where they've put up less than 25 points in two of their last three games. Jared Goff, one touchdown, six picks in his last couple of games. Clearly, this team has taken a huge step back, but unlike the Chiefs, see, I don't think that the league has figured out the Chiefs. I just think they've lost a couple of games. You can't say that other teams have figured you out. Like, the Patriots didn't figure out the Chiefs. The Chiefs scored 40 points again. The Rams didn't figure out the Chiefs. The Chiefs put up 50 points. They just beat them. I think teams are starting to figure out the Rams. Number four, a team that we've had at number one pretty much for the last 10 years, and that's the New England Patriots. And frankly, if they were called any team but the New England Patriots, this was just Team X, I'd have them in the top 10, but barely. When you talk about talent, of all the teams that are going to make the playoffs, and this maybe is nothing new for the Patriots, they might be the least talented team up and down. Honestly, if I started you making you name players on the Patriots after Tom Brady and after Julian Edelman, go. It's not that easy. But I still have the Patriots at the fourth most likely team to win the Super Bowl because they've got a couple of guys you probably have heard of, Tom Brady and this guy, Bill Belichick, probably heard of him. Number three, the Chargers. You talk about complete teams, not to mention a complete team that puts up a lot of points that has proven to me that they can play with and beat the Chiefs. Check, check, and check when it comes to the Chargers. And if they have a healthy Melvin Gordon, they might even be a more talented team than Kansas City. Melvin Gordon's probably a top five running back. You could say that Phillip Rivers this year has been a top, definitely top five quarterback. You could argue Keenan Allen's a top five wide receiver. They got a good offensive line. Defensively, when it comes to defensive line, there's none better when both Ingram and Bosa are healthy. And again, the difference between the Chiefs and the Chargers this year is the first game of the season. If the Chargers would have won that game, then we would have been hearing everybody wax poetic this entire year about the Chargers like they have the Chiefs. It's funny that it comes down to the last games of the season for both teams. The Chiefs host the Raiders and the Chargers go on the road to the Broncos. Number two, here they are, the Kansas City Chiefs. I can't put them at number one just because the way they've looked in the month of December. Maybe if you asked me this at the end of November, I would have said Rams 1, Chiefs 2. I've still got the Chiefs at 2. I still think they're the best team in the AFC, but clearly they've shown their warts over the last month. They barely beat Oakland on December 2nd. They probably shouldn't have beat Baltimore after that and then back-to-back losses. And number one, a team that I think is most likely to win the Super Bowl this season, is the New Orleans Saints. They're a very complete football team. Everybody always talks about their offense. Don't look now. They've got a top 10 defense as well. Drew Brees, I think, is going to finish runner-up for league MVP. And I always want a coach and a quarterback that have been there, done that. And that's exactly what the Saints are with Sean Payton and Tom Brady. As far as Vegas goes, they tend to agree with me. New Orleans is a plus 160, so about 1.5 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are the second favorite at 4 to 1, followed by the Rams at 5 to 1, according to the Desert. Chris Unocero, Sports Machine, Sean Levine coming up next. Let's go back inside the mind of the machine right here on 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back. Sports Machine, Sean Levine, taking up until 6 o'clock right here on 610 Sports Radio. Some of the other odds, if you're curious, the Rams 5 to 1 to win the Super Bowl, the Chiefs 4 to 1, New England 6 to 1. If you want to play a long shot, Minnesota 30 to 1, the Ravens you can get at 20 to 1, the Steelers, you can still get the Steelers, is that right? Steelers 50, I guess they're probably not going to make the playoffs, that makes sense, at 50 to 1. Or last year's champions, if you really want to take a long shot, the Eagles are at 80 to 1 to win the Super Bowl. Who would have thought that we'd be heading into the last week of the season and Las Vegas odds would be the Philadelphia Eagles' chances of winning the Super Bowl, 80 to 1. The Chiefs' chance of winning the Super Bowl, 4 to 1. Not too shabby. Let's step back inside the mind of the machine.
All right, so kicking things off, which halftime show do you think is going to be better? Well, will be better. Imagine Dragons during the national championship game or Maroon 5 and Travis Scott at the Super Bowl.
I like Maroon 5, don't love them. I do love Imagine Dragons. I saw Imagine Dragons, like, would have been 6 or 7 years ago at Starlight. put on a hell of a show. I'm going to say the Imagine Dragons show is better because they put on a really good performance, and I've never actually seen Maroon 5. And I got to just call a spade a spade. I wouldn't know Travis Scott if he walked in here with his name tag on, so I'm not really sure what he brings to the table. The halftime show to me has become too big of a production, if that's possible. It's exactly like the Olympic opening ceremonies, where a simpleton like myself, I can't pay attention to all that stuff that's going on the screen, where there's humans acting like dragons, and there's flames, and there's trapeze artists. Oh, and by the way, there's also somebody performing, like putting on an actual concert. So I think they need to dumb it down a little bit and make it more about the music and maybe just a little bit. I get it. It's 2018. We've got all this technology at our disposal. We have to use it. But maybe just dumb it down a little bit.
Both bands suck.
I'd be down. They do both suck. I'd be down with the Tupac hologram over both
of them. Travis Scott's great, though. He's awesome.
All right. Say so. What's next?
Have you ever seen Chiefs fandom like this in Kansas City? And how would you compare it to the Royals fandom from a few years ago?
Yeah, it was like this when I was growing up, like the Marty Schottenheimer days. I think it's a little bit different because even though those teams were always really good and Arrowhead Stadium was always really packed and the team was making the playoffs consistently, the difference is how were they doing it? It wasn't that exciting, right? They ran the ball a lot. They played really good defense. This year, I don't care what you want to say. I don't care how it finishes. I don't care if Pat's the MVP and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. We have this parade. I don't think anybody could argue to the contrary that this has been the most exciting and maybe even fun year to be a Chiefs fan, no matter how it plays out. If you want to compare it to a Royals fandom a few years ago, I never would have imagined in my wildest dreams that the city could have gotten quite as blue as they did, where everybody's dogs had the Royals collar, and everybody's license plate had the Royals, and everybody's got the new Royals hoodies and the pennants and the World Series champion hats. I never would have imagined. And I think part of that was because the fan base of the Royals, yeah, it's been longer. It's been a longer drought when you talk about winning the championship for Chiefs fans than it had been since 1985 for Royals fans. But the difference is, since the last time the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, the team has been good. The team has been relevant. They've made it to the postseason. The Royals literally had a 30-year gap where every other team in professional sports made the postseason except for them. So this city was just so hungry for the Royals to do something. And when they did something, they went all the way in back-to-back years. So I don't I'd love to actually cross this bridge. I'd love to see what the parade would look like if the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl. Something tells me it would be, well, if you talk about numbers, what'd we end up with? Like we said, 800,000 people or so. I bet it'd be just as big.
It'd be bigger.
Bigger.
We like football better than we like baseball. Just the truth. Broncos are probably going to fire their coach, Vance Joseph. What other NFL coaches, NFL teams are going to be looking for new coaches this afternoon?
Yeah, and part of that is on John.
This offseason, not afternoon.
Part of that's on John Elway, man. I mean, John Elway, as good of a quarterback as he was, and I would argue not named Tom Brady, he's the greatest to ever play the position, he can't find a quarterback to save his life. Brock Osweiler, Tim Tebow, Paxton Lynch, what was Simeon's name? Trevor Siemian. I think Mark Sanchez was there for a couple of minutes. And then in this offseason, you paid who? Case Keenum? Like, I get it. You're John Elway, so you're going to get as many opportunities as you want. But, man, except for the couple of years that Peyton Manning decided he wanted to play for the Broncos, the quarterback situation has been terrible in Denver. As far as other coaches losing their job, Arizona already said they're going to part ways with their coach. Their coach, Steve Wilks, he's only been there for one season, but his offense averages 13.9 points per game. 13.9 points per game. So he's gone. I wonder what's going to happen with Mike Tomlin. Because the question is, can you get a better coach if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers? If you let him go, who are you going to hire that's better than Mike Tomlin? So something tells me they're going to give him at least one more opportunity. Todd Bowles of the Jets is probably going to get fired, but it's not his fault. His record sucked, but that team has absolutely no talent. What's next?
LeBron said that he's going to have to recruit players to Los Angeles. What free agents, if any of them, do you think are going to end up in L.A.?
By the way, Tampa's going to fire Dirk Cutter, too. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of free agents out there, and all their names begin with a K. I don't know if that's just an anomaly or what the hell is going on, but check this out. Here's the free agents that are out there, the big ones. Kawhi, Kyrie, Kemba, KD, Klay Thompson, and Chris Middleton. Again, it's weird, but they all begin with K. Kawhi would be a perfect fit with LeBron James because LeBron James needs the ball, needs attention, and Kawhi Leonard doesn't necessarily need either one of those things. Kyrie, well, I don't think that that's going to work out. We've seen that experiment. Kemba Walker, okay, now we're talking. You put Kemba in L.A. Kemba finally starts to get the credit that he deserves, being the top one of the top five best point guards in the league, and you pair him with LeBron James. Now you're talking. Kevin Durant, I don't think so. I think that Kevin Durant's next move is to prove that he can be the best player on a team and win a championship, because that was what everybody said was the reason why he left Oklahoma City, kind of to go buy a championship. Not the best player on his team, that's Steph Curry. So I think that I don't see him going to pair with LeBron James. Klay Thompson, that might work. West Coast kid, doesn't need the ball. Chris Middleton, probably the most underrated player in the entire NBA, but I think that the Bucks realize that, and they're probably going to give him a max contract. And Boogie Cousins, I suppose that could work also. What's next?
Finish this sentence for me. This season will only be considered a success if the Chiefs do blank.
If the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl, man, at this point, this season will only be a success if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl. And I know that for lifelong Chiefs fans, people are going to drive around and go, what's this guy talking about? How would you say it's not a success if the Chiefs get to an AFC championship game? Well, here's why. The only team the last 4 years or 5 years since Andy Reid has been here that have had more regular season wins than the Chiefs is the New England Patriots. And in that time, the Patriots have gone to, what, three, maybe four Super Bowls. So now it's the Chiefs' turn. Speaking of those Patriots, they've come back to the pack. And this entire season, we've been talking about this Chiefs offense and this Chiefs team being the most dominant and best team in the league. I don't understand why us as a fan base, as soon as the postseason rolls around, we start to change or cater our expectations and say, well, okay, it's been a fun ride. It's been the best, most entertaining season that a lot of us have ever witnessed. We're going to have the league MVP. As long as they win a game in the playoffs. No. If you're the best regular season team over a five-year period and the other best regular season team is going to Super Bowls every other year and that team finally comes back to the pack, it's your turn. So to finish your sentence, Chris, this season will be a disappointment, or I guess this season will only be considered a success if the Chiefs get to the Super Bowl. Last one.
Several famous prison inmates who are, you know, famous, I don't know if I said that, are going to have their Christmas meals today. What was on the menu?
Yeah, so you got Tekashi 6ix9ine, Bill Cosby, Suge Knight, and Paul Manafort. Here's what 6ix9ine had in his Brooklyn prison cell. He had eggplant, which I'm not even sure. I don't know if I'd know eggplant if it was right in front of me. Mashed potatoes, corn.
You haven't seen the eggplant emoji?
Oh.
You don't use the eggplant emoji at all?
Oh, touche, my friend. I do know the egg. Okay.
You've never used that before? Maybe you should step your game up.
You're right. I do know that. I actually haven't used it, but I do know the
time for you to step your game up. Then.
I prefer the screwdriver, but if you want to keep using
No one uses the screwdriver.
I do.
Use the eggplant.
Keep using the eggplant.
That's the reason why women ain't talking to you, because they're like, I don't know what that means.
Could be one of the many reasons, yes. Man, this guy's eating well. Corn stuffing, gravy, cranberry. Are you kidding me? Cosby, in his Pennsylvania prison cell, he had a garden burger. Apparently, he's a vegetarian. Who knew? Bread stuffing, mashed potatoes, green peas.
They should only feed him Jell-O. That's literally the only thing they should feed him is Jell-O and pudding.
Oh, I can't say anything better than that, so I dropped the mic. Who cares what the rest of these people had? Coming up next, we visit with national NFL reporter Matt Verderam right here on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Hey, this is Eric Stone Street. You're listening to the home of the Wildcats. Yeah! 610 Sports Radio.
Rolling along here Christmas afternoon, Chris Unocero, Sports Machine, Sean Levine on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, and all over the world on the radio.com app. Coming up later on in the show, we'll step back inside the mind of the machine. We're talking pretty much red and gold the rest of the way, including right now as we welcome on national NFL writer Matt Verderam. What's up, Matt? Merry Christmas, man. How you doing?
Hey, Merry Christmas. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. But how good are the Chiefs based on what you've seen, let's just say, since the last time they faced Oakland, where that wasn't necessarily a real convincing win. Then you had the Baltimore game in overtime and then back-to-back losses. What's your level of concern with this team as they wrap up the season?
I mean, it depends on what we're talking about. I think they're going to win in Week 17, but I think they're in a lot of trouble for the playoffs because, look, football, yeah, it's about your talent level, but it's also about how you're playing. And they're not playing well. Their problem to me is defensively. Like, their offense is okay. They haven't been quite as elite as they were earlier in the year. I think that's more of a function of Sammy Watkins has been out more than it's anything to do with Kareem Hunt. I also think they need their guards back. But, look, they're awful. And if they're going to continue to play like this every week and they can't get off the field and they're giving up third and 15s, they're going to play a team like the Colts and they're going to lose because they're not going to be able to stop them.
It's crazy how the conversation has changed that we've gotten to the point that I have to ask this next question, but can this team, with the defense as bad as they are, and I don't think they're going to get a whole lot better next week and then whatever their playoff run is, can a team with a defense this bad, knowing how good their offense is, go through the playoffs and win the Super Bowl?
No, not with their defense as bad as it is. Now, if their defense could even get to the point where they're holding teams in the high 20s, yeah. Because their offense is legitimately great when it's right. But no, I mean, they're not going to win Super Bowl playing the way they've played recently, giving up 30-plus to the Raiders, giving up, you know, 29 to the Chargers, and in a game where they gave up 14 for the first 55 minutes. This is going to come down to, can that defense in a playoff game, can they make two or three big impact plays? And by that I mean, you know, force a turnover, get a big sack on third down. You know, those are the types of things they're going to have to do to win because the defense is not going to all of a sudden become this great unit. They're going to have to make big plays at big times. And that, the good news is they've done that occasionally this year, but they haven't done it enough. And they're basically just asking Mahomes to perform a miracle every week. And that's something that's not replicable a lot when you get into January.
The crazy thing is how many times he has performed that miracle. We're talking with Matt Verderam here, national NFL writer on 610 Sports Radio. You got Matt and the Machine on Christmas afternoon right here on the drive. So maybe it's not the best day to put blame on somebody since it is Christmas afternoon, but let's just go ahead and do that because that's what we do. When it comes to this defense, who's the one that should shoulder the most blame? Do we work our way all the way up the totem pole to the general manager, Brett Veach, and say you didn't put this team in the best position? Do we work our way to the bottom and blame the players? Somewhere in the middle with either Andy Reid or Bob Sutton, who should shoulder the blame for how bad this defense is?
To be honest, and I know it's not a great radio answer, all of them. All of them. At some point, you know, it's week 15, week 16, you don't know how to line up.
Right.
It's comical. I mean, that's junior league stuff. What is wrong with you? Look, if you don't think Orlando Sanders got benched on Sunday because he blew that two-point conversion, then you don't know football. He got benched because he had no idea what he was doing on the biggest play of the game. Ron Parker got benched because he just can't play anymore. And they're trying out guys now who people haven't even heard of on Sunday Night Football in Week 16 trying to clinch a one seed. I mean, that's what we're doing. Look, ultimately, if you said you have to blame one person, I would blame Sutton. Their schemes are just they're ridiculous. They play the same look over and over and over, and they just – look, that's fine. If you've got elite talent, that's fine because you can get away with it. The Chiefs don't have elite talent. The Chiefs have bad talent outside of about four guys. And you need to confuse the other team. They don't even try to confuse the other team. So they get lit up. And I'm telling you right now, if they play Luck or they play Rivers in the divisional round, they better score 40, maybe more, or they're going to lose.
But would you say they get lit up like a Christmas tree? You see what I did there, Matt? A little appropriately timed joke. How much impact have you seen from Eric Berry? I mean, I've seen him look pretty good. I've seen him look better than pretty much anybody else in that secondary this season, but the facts are the facts, and the two games that he's been on the field both came in losses. How good has he been? How much of an impact has he had, and how much of an impact do you think he'll have going forward?
I think he's been good. I think you know, his impact has been felt mostly against the run. They were actually very good against the run against the Chargers for the most part in that game. And I think when he's been on the field, look, it's been obvious that they've been better. The problem is Eric Berry can't be cloned. They're not going to make 11 of them or even 6 of them. And the Chiefs just can't cover. I don't know how many times Steven Nelson has to have his back to a ball when he's in perfect position to get a pass interference call before he just turns around. I don't know how many times you're going to watch, you know, one Chiefs cornerback after the next just be totally lost in a cover two man scheme. You know, high school kids play that. Like, it is even obvious scheme going. Look, I think Berry's going to be better as the year goes on because he'll knock the rust off. I think he helps. I think his mental acuity maybe is even his biggest asset to this team. But I don't think it's going to make this enormous difference. I think it matters, and maybe he makes a huge play in a playoff game, and that is the difference. But I don't think on a play-by-play basis that his presence is going to change the fortunes of that defense.
Talking to you as frequently as I have the last few years about this football team, I have to say I'm a little bit surprised that you didn't work your way further up the totem pole and put more blame on Brett Veach. Because I ask you this, Matt. By the way, Matt Verderam, national NFL writer, kind enough to join us on Christmas here on 610 Sports Radio. Matt, what is his imprint on this team? Because when you talk about the last couple of general managers, the orchestrators of these football teams, if you look at the quarterback, okay, maybe let's just save that one because we're not exactly sure if that was Veach or Dorsey or who that was. But I can tell you this, the general manager in place at the time was John Dorsey. Same thing with Tyreek Hill, same thing with Kareem Hunt, same thing with Marcus Peters, same thing with Travis Kelce, same thing with, we can keep playing this game. What's the impact that we've seen so far from Brett Veach on the 2018 Kansas City Chiefs?
By the way, how's John Dorsey looking in Cleveland?
Pretty damn good, man. Pretty good.
Looking pretty good. Looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Look, I hated that they fired him. I thought it was a horrible move. I still think it was a bad move. And that's not because I don't like Veach. I think Veach, to me right now, if I had to give him a grade, I'd give him a C. It's easy to happen.
I'd give him an incomplete. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. I mean, look, here's my question with Veach. First of all, you raised $1 million question. Was he responsible for Mahomes? Because if he was, then look, he almost gets a lifetime pass.
Right.
Right? Like, to some degree, he just does. Now, I think the Irving trade was a really good trade. I will defend the Ragland trade. Ragland's been garbage this year, but I think overall, like, I understand why Veach made that move. I don't mind that trade. You make that trade 100 times out of 100, hope it works out. The Watkins deal, look, they paid way too much money for Sammy Watkins. And I know I've had a million Chiefs fans in my mentions on Twitter tell me, well, the Cowboys are going to pay him even more. Okay, yeah, the Cowboys are not exactly a benchmark for what you should do in the NFL
right. When
it comes to personnel decisions. Okay. Watkins is a very good player. I think very, very easily could be the difference for them in the playoffs. When he's on the field, they are a totally different offense. But Hitchens has been a disaster. Watkins has been vastly overpaid, and he's hurt again. And you knew he'd get hurt because he's hurt every year of his career. So I think for me, he's done okay. I think his draft picks, I still want to see more, but I do think he's got some talent in that class. But this upcoming offseason is going to be high-grade Veach because they've got three high picks. They've got a lot of cap space. They've got some extensions they have to go out. They've got a tough decision on Justin Houston. What does he do? I want to see it.
I've got past numbers in front of me, and so far he's yet to put up a dud. And I haven't done the research, but I would think that the best quarterbacks and the best season they've ever had at some point put up a dud. Like when Randy Moss joined the Patriots, something tells me that Tom Brady had at least one game where he had one touchdown, two picks, and 200 yards. And at some point during the greatest show on turf season, Kurt Warner had to have a game where he threw no touchdowns and one pick. I've got Pat's stats in front of me, and he's really yet to put up a dud. Is that a good thing? Does that give you a confidence level, Matt, that it's just not going to happen? Or are you like a lot of Chiefs fans that go, well, at some point the other shoe has to drop?
Oh, I think it's going to drop, but I don't think it's going to be about him. To me, you could argue that maybe he had a bad game against Jacksonville. If you're referring to yards, did you have a touchdown?
Right.
If memory serves. But that's probably the worst game, which if that's your worst game, you had a pretty damn good season. Look, I think if they are going to win a playoff game, if they are going to go to the Super Bowl, it's going to be because of him. It is not going to be because of anything else on that football team. It's going to be because of 15. They stink defensively. Their line in recent weeks has not been good. Now, Irving should be back this week. Duvernay-Tardif should be back for the playoffs. That is a huge deal. I don't think people realize how big of a deal it is having those two guys back in the fold. Because Jeff Allen can't block. And Andrew Wiley, God bless him, he's done the best he can, but he's not Duvernay-Tardif. So, well, to me, I think you should have all the time in the world in Mahomes. I mean, let's be real. That Ravens game is the most impressive win they've had in a month. Why'd they win the game? Because him on 4th-and-9 making one of the greatest throws they'll ever shake. They were only in that Seattle game because of him. So I think ultimately, if you want to hang your hat on something, it is we have him, the other team doesn't, and that gives us a shot in any game. But it's a lot of pressure to put on a kid who's 23 years old and has never been in the postseason.
If they win, they're still the number one overall seed. If New England wins, that will make them the 2 seed. Is there a team in the AFC that you just as well assume not face, that you think is a bad matchup in the postseason for the Chiefs? And is the answer to that question still the Patriots?
No. I'm not surprised. I think they will roast the Patriots if they play it. I think the Patriots are borderline dead on arrival. I watch film of them every week, and every week I look at them, and Gronkowski can't move, and Edelman doesn't have the same explosiveness, and Brady looks like he's 41 years old. And their defense is almost as bad as Kansas City's in some regards. I'll tell you the team right now, you said I don't want to play him, it's Indianapolis. Because Andrew Luck could go into Arrowhead and throw for 450 yards. And I don't know how the Chiefs stop it. They don't have weapons, but Hilton's going to be a nightmare. There's nobody who can run with him. Ebron is going to be a problem. Now, they do have Berry back. Berry might mitigate that to an extent. But the Colts would scare the daylights out of you. Now, the plus side of that is the Chiefs could score 50 on them. But they would bother me. I thought all year long Pittsburgh would be the worst matchup for them. They're going to look like Pittsburgh's going to make the playoffs. It's a huge break for the Chiefs if that ends up being the case. But I think, oddly enough, I think the divisional round will be much harder for the Chiefs than the AFC title game. I think if the Chiefs win the divisional round, they'll go to the Super Bowl. I just don't know if they're going to win that game.
Matt, before you get out of here, is it a foregone conclusion the Chiefs beat Oakland on Sunday?
No, because it's the Chiefs. I mean, how many times in Kansas City have you got the proverbial kick in the jewels from this team? I hate to use that on Christmas, but I think they will win. I would be very surprised if they don't. But would it shock you if it's 24-20 with 10 minutes to go in the game? Probably not.
No.
Right? I think they will win for the reason I brought up before. Mahomes is better than anybody on the Raiders. The Raiders cannot get pressure almost at a historical level. And I just think as the game wears on, he will just make so many plays that the Raiders just can't keep up. I also think the Raiders are beyond checked out after that emotional win they had Monday night. If they got their big Super Bowl win, they're ready to go home. But no, I think they'll win, but it wouldn't be shocking if that game's tied with 10 minutes to go.
The answer is many, many, many times as a Chiefs fan, we've been kicking the jewels. Great stuff, Matt, as always. Thanks so much for taking time out of your Christmas to join us.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care.
You got it. That is Matt Verderam, national NFL writer, kind enough to join us on Christmas afternoon. Chris Unicero, sports machine Sean Levine coming up next. Chris wants to know who's higher, and I'll tell him right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Almost halfway home this Christmas afternoon on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, and all over the world on the radio.com app. That's Chris Unicero. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Let's play a quick game. I want to know who's higher.
All right, so starting things off, chances of being named an All-Pro, Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill?
Their stats are so similar. Tyreek Hill has 11 touchdowns. Travis Kelce has 10. Average yards per catch, Tyreek Hill 16.8. Travis Kelce just under 14. Total yards, Tyreek Hill 1378. Travis Kelce 1274. Receptions for Tyreek Hill 82. I didn't realize this. Travis Kelce 98 receptions. A hell of a good question. When you think about the best wide receivers in the league, you think of DeAndre Hopkins, you think of Antonio Brown, you think of a few other guys. Tyreek Hill is certainly on that short list, but when you think of the best tight end in the league, that used to be Gronk, maybe you could argue Zach Ertz, but I think that Travis Kelce is going to end up the all-pro tight end with the numbers that he has and the success of his team. So I'm going to say Travis Kelce is higher.
All right, all right, all right.
Number of wins in his first season, Les Miles at KU or Chris Wieman, I don't know how to say his last name, at K-State?
Wieman. I'm going to go with Wieman at K-State only because he's got a little bit more in the cupboard than what Les Miles has at KU. It's all about your quarterback, and not that either one of them have a great situation there, but it's a complete mess at KU. It's going to be a rebuild for Les Miles. I think this team probably, if they're going to get back to a bowl game, if they're going to win six or seven games, it's not going to be next year. It's probably going to be two or three years down the line. I just don't think that K-State's all that far. So not that he wins a ton of games next year, probably wins six and KU wins four. But I'm going to say that Chris Wieman next season is higher.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No.
Number, chances of winning the NBA Finals, the Warriors or the Field?
Man, the last, like, 5 years, you'd be an idiot if you said the Field, even though somehow Cleveland did win one of those finals. But kind of like the Patriots have come back to the pack, so have the Warriors. Now, you could argue the Warriors have been all about injuries. They haven't had DeMarcus Cousins. Steph Curry's been often injured. And you had that fight earlier on this year that looked like there was a little bit of dissent between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant. But the truth is, the Warriors are just so much more talented than everybody else. And when it comes down to these 5- and 7-game series, or are they all 7-game series? When it comes down to these 7-game series in the NBA, who's going to beat Golden State 4 out of 7? The answer is still nobody. So I'm going to say the Field is higher.
All right, all right, all right.
Chances of getting a call from CPS, Clark Griswold or the mom from Home Alone?
Honestly, Child Protective Services should be after both of them. Clark Griswold is more of like the fun dad. The mom from Home Alone, I would actually argue, is a bad parent. Not so much because of Home Alone 1, right? She gets in the airplane, Kevin, she forgets the kid, and then she gets in John Candy's car and drives home, and she does everything she can to get back to her kid. The problem is this. They made a Home Alone 2 and then a Home Alone 3, which means that she lost her kid in a big city multiple times. Therefore, when it comes to getting a call from CPS, the mom from Home Alone is higher.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No.
Chance of winning the national championship, Alabama or the Field?
Alabama is the answer to this question. Oklahoma's good, but they're still a 2-touchdown underdog in the college football playoff. Clemson versus Notre Dame. I'm surprised that Clemson's as big of a favorite as they are. Also, an 11.5-point favorite over the Irish. That's crazy to me. Notre Dame's a damn good football team. As a matter of fact, I think Notre Dame's going to win that game and then get smoked like a Snoop blunt in the national championship against Alabama. So, Alabama or the Field, I'm going to say Alabama's chances are high.
All right, all right, all right.
Chance of returning a punt for a touchdown, Tyreek Hill or Dante Hall?
Well, right now I'm going to say Tyreek Hill because Dante Hall is like 40 years old and I'm not sure how fast he is. Historically, one punt, need to have it returned for a touchdown as a Chiefs fan. I'm going to surprise you, and I'm going to go with Dante Hall only because Tyreek Hill, as good as he is, when it comes to returning punts, the touchdowns that we've seen from him, he's burned them. Most of the time, he hasn't even gotten touched. He's run right down the seam, right down the middle, right down the sideline, and it was because of his speed. In the case of Dante Hall, the reason he became the X Factor, the human joystick, was because of all the moves that he had, but he also had the world-class speed. Now, if you just talk about who's the better football player, obviously, thanks, Captain Obvious, that's Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's turned into a top 5 wide receiver, where Dante Hall never turned into a top 200 wide receiver in the league. But if I just need one punt return for a touchdown, I'm taking Dante Hall.
Tyreek's better.
All right.
Are you a pothead, Falker?
No. No. What? No.
Local home field advantage, Arrowhead or Allen Fieldhouse?
Well, I got the percentages in front of me. And historically, in the last 10 years, in the last 5 years, it's Allen Fieldhouse, where KU wins more than 95% of their games. And frankly, the Arrowhead advantage has become, it's back. Don't get me wrong. It's back this year, and it was back last year. But for a while, it became a bit of a myth, not to mention, don't look now, playoffs right around the corner. Chiefs beat Oakland. Chiefs wrap up home field advantage, where they've lost 6 straight home playoff games. So if you want to talk about home field, home court advantage here locally, Allen Fieldhouse is higher than Arrowhead.
All right, all right, all right.
Last one.
Chances of winning the MVP, Pat Mahomes or Drew Brees?
Thank you. Thank you. I wrote down the Field, but Chris astutely points out that the Field at this point,
no one else is in.
It's just Drew Brees, right? It's just Drew Brees. And why is Drew Brees even still in the conversation?
Because he's a quarterback, and he's the only other quarterback that's playing at an MVP level.
Don't you think that was a pretty big gap, though, based on the 2 seasons they've played? Or do you think Brees could actually still win this?
I mean, I think Brees has a good shot of winning it just because of his age and because of the fact that I think people think the Saints are better.
I wonder if the NFL is going to factor both those things in, because the Saints maybe...
Well, the NFL is not going to make the decision. It's going to be the actual... It's going to be the writer.
Well, I wonder if the voters are going to factor those things in. Like, yeah, are the Saints better? Yeah, but we're talking about, what, 2 games in the standings, and it's arguable if you want to go by the eye test which team's actually that much better. And when it comes down to, should we give it to a guy, you know, the whole Lifetime Achievement Award? Maybe, but then again, I could also see the voters want to give it to the new guy in town, Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to say that Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes has, like, the second worst defense in the NFL, and he's got his team at the very top of the AFC.
And
I think I know who I'm voting for.
And oftentimes, these awards are given out based on expectations. Like, how good did you think the guy was going to be heading into the year? Yeah, we thought Drew Brees on the back end of his career. He's done much better than all expected, but nobody thought Patrick Mahomes would be this good. Halfway home on a Tuesday afternoon, a Christmas Tuesday afternoon. Coming up next, we get back into the red and gold. We talk Chiefs the rest of the way right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.